This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm joined in the studio today by
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
As usual, we'll be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. And if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Normally, Jeff Sandu would be joining us on a Thursday, wouldn't he? To be his techie Thursday moment. I don't know what's going on with him today, though.
Not as techie.
Not as techie today.
Yeah, I think over the past couple of Tech Thursdays, he's been too influenced by Matt Armitage.
I know, right?
Need to get a bit more of a positive spin on Tech Thursday today.
We'll have more of a Matt Splained, of course. That'll be on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., followed by Geek Squawk shortly afterwards. But on our show today, we'll be covering some fairly tech-based stories.
Yeah.
First one, though, Emirates are looking to have windowless planes, which is something I'm kind of very interested in, but I'm not sure how I feel about it just yet. Then we have a story about how the Netherlands will be building the world's first habitable 3D printed houses. This sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
Number three, Spotify story, how they're trying to lure artists into licensing their music directly. Big breakthrough, how synthetic blood will help keep trauma victims alive for up to 48 hours. And then wrapping up with something a little bit fun, an LED screen that shows happy thoughts in your rear view window.
Yay!
Right, okay, let's start off with this Emirates story then. So they've unveiled a new first class suite on board its latest aircraft that features virtual windows. So instead of being able to see directly outside, passengers view images projected in from outside the aircraft using fiber optic cameras. The airline says it paves the way for removing all windows from future planes, making them lighter and faster. So the president of Emirates, Sir Tim Clark, said the images were so good, it's better than with the natural eye.
Okay.
Yeah, see, no. That doesn't work, does it, right? The virtual windows can be found in the first-class cabin of Emirates' newest Boeing 777-300ER aircrafts. He went on to tell the BBC that the ultimate aim was to have planes with no windows at all. Here's a quote. Imagine now a fuselage as you're boarding with no windows, but when you get inside, there are windows. Now you have one fuselage which has no structural weaknesses because of windows. The aircraft are lighter, the aircraft could fly faster, they'll burn far less fuel, and they'll fly higher. Of course, though, there's quite a few safety concerns. Cabin crew obviously need to be able to see outside the aircraft if there's an emergency. Being able to see outside the aircraft in an emergency is important, especially if an emergency evacuation has to take place. Flight attendants would need to check outside the aircraft in an emergency, for example, for fire, before opening a door and commencing an evacuation. And anything they need of power to do this may not be easy to get certified by an aviation safety regulator. There's obviously some kind of pushback. The aviation expert John Strickland said having no windows would make aircraft more structurally sound. The move would also improve fuel efficiency if the fuselage were lighter than windows it replaced. Everything that reduces weight on an aircraft is going to reduce fuel burn. However, he personally liked to be able to see out of a plane. I'm a bit of a window obsessive, he says. For me, artificial windows would be no substitute. I'm with the guy on this.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, how will we ever prove to people that we travel without our, hashtag window pick?
Right,
With the plane wing and such on Instagram. But on another level as well, you know, moving towards getting rid of windows, personally, I'm not a fan just because, so I'm claustrophobic.
Exactly.
And already, you know, the idea of flying in this massive tin can, like, God knows how many miles above, like, the ocean is terrifying in and of itself. And then you remove, like, the one thing that kind of grounds you in knowing that there's space outside. Don't do that.
Right.
Don't do it. But also, like, I don't like the idea of, like, alternative windows. We already stare at screens so much, and then to add that into a plane as well, when we already had the screen in front of us with our TV shows and movies and such, and then we can't even look outside to get a break, we gotta look at another screen to get a break from a screen.
Right.
I don't like it.
I mean, I could see a couple of, you know, kind of technical benefits to it, you know, things like being able to open and close virtually your window as and when you want, mm-hmm. you know, turning it off for when you're trying to relax a little bit. But then you have the problem of the person who sat next to you who perhaps might want to glance out of the window,
yeah.
you know, would then have to say to you or whoever controls that window, can you just switch on your window for a little while? That's going to be a problem. And I'm like you, Chris, you know, it's not that I'm claustrophobic, but I like the idea of being able to see outside
yeah.
and kind of just judging where I am. You know?
Yeah, but you can't see that most of the time. No, it's only when you take off and just moments before you land. So you're able to see like somewhat of something outside the window. And
just
then most of the time,
sky and clouds.
It's so weird because I think like a few years ago there was like this alternative design for planes where they said the whole thing could be just one giant window.
Right.
So you could always look outside.
I remember that.
That
yeah.
would be also terrifying though.
Yeah, it would. But it would be fully transparent because they said that if you don't have to paint the plane, then it's lighter because the paint takes up, it actually adds a lot of weight to the plane itself. So it's weird that now they want to get rid of windows like altogether. It's like two opposite ends of the same spectrum kind of thing.
And the thing is, I'd imagine that, you know, Emirates have a lot of money and for them to be able to try this out, you know, permanently, I wouldn't expect it to be too far of a reach, to be honest.
I don't know. I think I would vote for whichever is the safest. Like if they say that this is less safe than actually looking outside, then I would go like, yeah, okay, then you give people the opportunity to look outside. But if they say that, I mean, who's actually looking outside to look for signs of like danger and stuff? Most of the time it's someone in the cockpit knows that something is wrong or someone from the tower.
Trust me, when I am flying, I am constantly looking out of that window and making sure in my mind everything looks safe. Even though I have no idea about, you know, aeronautical engineering, I'm like, is that supposed to do that? What was that sound? Mm-hmm. What is that? I like to...
Oh, you see the wing moving a bit more than it should.
I need a little bit of that, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. For someone like, I'm a nervous flyer. So if you tell me that if you remove windows and it's like 30% safer than having windows, then I'm going to go like, yeah, I don't need to look outside anymore. Mm-hmm. I'll look for those nice looking wallpapers on Google or something.
Oh, I see. All
look
right.
Out the plane.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm curious. Let us know, folks. What would you feel or how would you feel about flying in an aeroplane that has no windows? You couldn't see outside, but the outside view would be virtually broadcast, I guess, projected onto the wall where the windows should be. You know, let us know what you think about that.
So this feed is actually what's happening outside the
plane.
It's
a live
feed. It's cameras that is taking what's going on the outside. It's just projecting it to your LED fiber optic screen.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Let us know, folks. 018-789-8899 or get us on Twitter. We are at BFM Radio. Moving on to story number two. How the Netherlands are to build the world's first habitable 3D printed houses.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm going to apologize in advance for probably butchering the name of this Dutch city, but the Dutch city of Eindhoven is to be the first in the world to have habitable homes made by a 3D printer as part of this thing that is called Project Milestone. They will be creating 5 houses first, and those 5 houses will be put on the rental market next year. The smallest house with 2 bedrooms has already attracted applications from 20 interested families just a week after images were made available. This is actually supposed to offer a solution to a shortage of skilled bricklayers in the Netherlands. It's also supposed to cut costs and environmental damage by reducing the amount of cement that is used. What I love about this, though, is that the 3D printer that is going to print these houses is basically this huge robotic arm with a nozzle like a piping thing for baking that squirts out a specially formulated cement that has the texture of whipped cream.
Wow.
Which is amazing to me. The cement is printed according to an architect's design, and layers upon layers are added to create a wall and have a strong wall. And so you don't need molds to create houses that are made with cement, and you don't need to use more cement than is necessary. Only the exterior and inner walls of the first of the new homes will be made using the printer. So the first one won't exactly be completely 3D printed, but by the time the 5th of the homes is built, which will have 3 floors and 3 bedrooms, it's hoped that the drainage pipes and other necessary installations will also be made using the printer. The one thing that won't be 3D printed are the foundations, which will be built using conventional methods. Also, the interesting thing about 3D printing houses is that it actually opens up the possibility of placing wireless sensors directly into the walls to allow a home to be fully smart. So you incorporate the lighting, the heating, the security controls all in the walls, because you can just 3D print everything. And looking at the photo of the models that they've created, these houses are weird. So they're not, you know, typical. You think of a house, it's like a kind of square block shape. These are like little blobs on the skyline, and they're kind of cool, actually. And they're said to illustrate the fact that 3D printing allows the construction of buildings of any shape. The idea also is that people will in time be able to construct homes to suit their own taste. So you can make houses in whatever shape you want, which would be fun. The guy that is behind this, Rudy Van Gerp, who is a manager at the firm
Van Wijnen.
Okay. They're a construction company, and he is the person that's kind of working in collaboration on the project with the Eindhoven University of Technology. He says that he believes the use of 3D printers in the construction of homes will be mainstream within 5 years.
I remember seeing a little bit, I think, was it in China? We did a little story about this ages and ages ago, where they were printing something. They were looking at printing some of the, not houses, but it was, you know, commercial buildings. And they were doing it super fast, you know, with this kind of 3D printing technology. Just literally like they were on rails running around, squirt, squirt, squirt. Oh, look, there's 10 feet of housing, 10 feet of building already.
I don't know. It sounds like it might be happening in China.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. This one reminds me of, there's another, it's also in the Netherlands, but this came out, there was this project that was built in the mid-80s called the Bulb Homes. So like these, they are like 50 round homes that was built in like this whole neighborhood, and they were meant to be like eco-friendly. It was built by this, this guy's name was Dries something. And the design of the homes is that it has windows on all sides. So no matter where you look, you get natural sunlight and you can look out at all four angles. Oh. And there were like 50 of these homes. And people actually, they look like space homes. They look like something in like an art exhibition. But people still live in these homes today. And it's completely eco-friendly. They're built out of a sort of a special cement that sort of radiates heat or disperses heat. So the homes don't get hot inside. And they have their own inbuilt ventilation system. And they are spherical. So they're completely round. And they're called like Bulb Homes or Bulwignian or something like that. But yeah, so this reminds me completely of that. They even look the same. They only have different designs, and they're like, because they're 3D printed and stuff, so they are more squarish.
I love the idea of being able to 3D print a home.
Yeah,
I think it's a great idea.
I'm so excited about it. Not only is it environmentally conscious, but it's also going to address a huge problem, which is the fact that
we can't afford homes.
We don't have enough. We don't have enough buildings to house people in.
Right.
And there, you know, especially in Malaysia, where there is quite a huge, you know, population of people who are like homeless and on the street. I want 3D printed houses now everywhere. And I really think that this is something that's going to completely revolutionize the construction industry, because not only are the materials different, but the method is different, and everything seems to be on the up and up. So that's fun.
Good stuff. Right, we should take a very short break. We did ask if you have any messages regarding whether or not you'd feel comfortable flying in a plane that has no windows. The number to WhatsApp is 018-789-8899, or on Twitter, of course, at BFM Radio. What do we have, Chris?
So we've got a message from Fuzz, who just says, if the design of the windowless aircraft includes cameras that project images of the outside onto the screens of the pseudo-windows, that
it
rhymes,
does.
Hey,
yes.
Then that may start to address the safety concerns. But if you have no windows at all, quote, gosh, hello, windowless pressurized tin cans.
Exactly, right?
Mm.
So just to answer that question, it does in fact have projected windows where the windows should be. But I don't know. A physical window for me is, I know it's taking away from how tough the plane is, but it's just, you know, it's
comforting.
It's comforting, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let us know what you think. Would you feel comfortable being in a plane that has no windows? 018-789-8899. Wouldn't that just be a submarine, but in the air?
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Okay, time for a break. Some music. It is The Strokes with Soma here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, ladies and gents. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
You guys really have an opinion about windowless planes, don't you? We ask you all week to get in touch about something. You guys keep quiet. We talk about windowless planes, and you can't stop talking.
It's like Will Smith, windowless plane.
Hey, don't start about Will Smith. Come on.
No. So we've got a couple of messages in, and these ones are completely the opposite perspectives. This comes from Ariva, who says, no way, I need the windows, because it is amazing to feel that you are flying.
There you go. I'm with you.
And I agree with that.
Yes.
However, Kokyuan says, totally okay for planes to have no windows if it means faster, cheaper, and safer flights.
Mm. Yeah, that's kind of Arvin's point, isn't
it? Yeah.
So we've got, and this is really divisive.
We've got one for one. Yeah.
Okay, well, let us know what you think. Keep the messages coming in. Of course, the story was how Emirates are looking to have windowless planes. Let us know what you think about that. 018-789-8899. Hang on, have we just got another message come through?
We do.
Okay,
we have.
Let's hear it then.
All right, so this comes from a WhatsApp number ending in 6569, and they say, having a window allows the flyer to look out and look far to rest the eyes. Getting some sunlight and a little bit of heat through the windows feels good and refreshing. A plane with no windows would be very uncomfortable.
Mm. It's not like you can get fresh air in through the windows, though. But these images are projected onto the walls, so, you know...
But you can't look far. Like, the distance
won't quite... You can pretend.
But I agree with the heat thing, because you're stuck in a plane for a couple, you know, like a few hours, and you just want to get that heat. You open the window a bit, and you just touch the window pane, and you get that nice warmth coming in. Yeah.
Okay, 018-789-8899, or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Keep the messages coming in, of course. Emirates saying they're looking at moving towards windowless planes. Next story, music related. Spotify luring artists into licensing their music directly.
Yeah, so this is a bit sneaky, but also I don't know, I'm supportive of Spotify and what they're doing with this. Basically, the way that independent artists give their music to Spotify is that they go through something like a middleman. So they have like a medium like TuneCore or one of the other record labels and stuff. So these people sort of negotiate the deal with Spotify, give them the license to use their music and stuff. What Spotify is doing now is that they are offering these independent artists and like musicians a way to sort of directly deal with them and cut out the middlemen, meaning that there's no more record labels and stuff. And Spotify is offering them a 50% cut of per stream royalty rates, and that's less than what the record labels take. Yeah, so they normally take anywhere upwards of 60% or more, and the artist gets like whatever remains. But Spotify is saying that they'll take half. Sometimes they're even offering less, and they're even offering them several hundred thousand dollars and as an advance fee for agreeing to license a certain number of tracks by you know, to these independent acts and stuff. The problem is Spotify has this agreement with the record label saying that they cannot compete with them. So they are just a streaming platform. They have to act as a platform to broadcast these artists and musicians, and they cannot compete with the record labels themselves. So what Spotify is doing is that if the independent artists sort of sign with them, they cannot use words like signed exclusively or signed up with.
So they have to use featured on or something.
Featured on... Mm. Making a deal, something like that. They cannot use words that imply that this artist is sort of
signed to a record label
or looked after by Spotify.
Ah.
But there was news before, like I think sometime last year, saying that Spotify is looking to sort of manage these people as well, like give them tour dates and tell them where they can go play. And they want to be like a booking platform for these musicians and artists as well. But they couldn't do that because they would, you know, these record labels might get angry at them and sort of like pull back the artists and stuff, because then they become competition. But yeah, so now that's what they're moving in that direction. They're sort of getting people to sign up directly. They're going for independent musicians first, because they don't want to deal with ones who are highly commercial, because then it opens up a whole other can of worms and all sorts of legal stuff that they have to do. But yeah, it's a small step for them, but it shows that they're moving into like a completely different section and competing with some really big guys in the industry.
Well, that as well. But you know, looking at some of these smaller artists, I mean, let's look at some of the local artists here, or the local artists in the UK, for example. What they do is they use a middleman to then get published on Spotify, and you pay a fee. I think it's it used to be $20 to have one song listed on both Spotify and on Apple iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that fee had been paid, that was all you paid. Mm-hmm. And then after that point, every time somebody streams your song, money would then be deposited into your account, and you would receive a small revenue from that. Spotify wouldn't receive anything. You know, the publishers wouldn't receive anything. All that money would technically be your own.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that this middleman did was just to get your record or song onto that platform,
mm-hmm.
and then they may charge you a monthly fee of, I don't know, $12 or something. You know, it's something fairly, you know, minimal.
Yeah.
Which I think is a better idea than what Spotify are offering here. If they're already saying, you know, we're going to take a 50% cut of the stuff that we're publishing, you know, and perhaps you might get 10 cents, 0.00 10 cents per stream, you're not going to make anything already there.
That was what I was about to say, is what advantage does this give to the actual artist? Like, I understand,
maybe the branding.
Yeah, like, I understand, you know, exposure, but what artist in any form of media has only done things for exposure? You know what I mean? Like, you have to be compensated in some way.
Right.
And I, you know, it's great that Spotify wants to appeal to independent artists and get them, you know, a platform with which to promote themselves. But if they don't actually benefit from that on a practical level, I don't really understand what
Spotify's trying to do. Are we missing something off?
Yeah.
Are we?
I think that's why I don't think they're poaching for people who are already signed to any of these record labels. I think they're looking for people who can't sign with record labels or who record labels don't want to pick up yet. So if Spotify sees potential in them, then they can sign up with Spotify directly. So imagine if someone can't get onto, like, let's say a TuneCore or someone else, then they can just approach Spotify directly and then just go to them. So in a way, they're not taking people off other labels. But by doing this, and if they get enough people under their own wing, then they're competing with those labels themselves,
right.
Which they shouldn't be doing, which in the documentation they should not be doing, which is why they're not signing exclusive deals with any of these people.
Mm. All right. Hmm. That's about as clear as not having windows on a plane. No, I'm kidding. Interesting stuff, though. All right, we got more messages?
Yeah, oh my gosh, people are really getting riled up about these windowless planes here. So we've got a message from Tenny, who just says, well, it sounds okay if you fly without windows. It'll be boring, but it'll feel like time travel in a capsule.
Ooh, interesting.
Which is cool. And then we have, again, on the opposite side of the coin, this is coming from Prakash, who says, a plane without windows is like an overcrowded coffin. Big no.
Oh, that's morbid.
So, oh dear. Okay, right. Go on, Av.
What if you could project anything you wanted outside? Like, just say, I don't want to look at clouds, but I want to look like we are jumping to hyperspeed.
That would
warp
work.
Speed.
Warp speed.
Which
yeah.
franchise am I talking about?
Which
is Star Wars?
Either one.
Warp speed is Star
warp
Trek.
Speed, yeah. Yes.
But then, if you projected warp speed, but you had a 14-hour flight, it would kind of defeat the purpose of the thing, would it not?
That's true. Then you're not in warp speed.
Exactly.
You're just in warp-ish speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we need to take a break, guys.
Yeah, we do.
Right. Okay, some music coming up with Blue Oyster Cult with Godzilla, followed by a little bit of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers with The Waiting. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, our next story is about synthetic blood. And then at the end of the show, an LED screen that shows happy thoughts in your rear window. Aww. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Better finance management. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
We did start off the show with a story about how Emirates are looking towards windowless planes. We asked you guys whether or not you'd feel comfortable about flying in a windowless plane and how you'd feel about the whole affair. We asked you to get in touch via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We've had a bunch of messages, more so than we expected. What have we got, Chris?
Yeah, so this comes from Scoot, who just says, hi there, guys. Hi, Scoot.
Hello.
Just imagine flying at 40,000 feet, and the screen is showing that you're stuck in traffic during the peak hours around Bandar Utama. Now, that's what I call interesting.
Yeah, thanks, Scoot.
I kind of like that, though. It might help people who are scared of flying to see something familiar outside.
Maybe. All too familiar, though, no?
To feel you're still on the ground.
Okay, my friend Fabian messaged in. He said, great talk. About to leave the car, but if the camera could project what's outside the plane, then the plane could become technically invisible.
Oh. Yes.
So you would be flying through air.
That is cool.
Yeah,
right?
There's actually a model plane like that.
Right.
You know, the alternative designs that I was talking about. So one of it is like it's a giant window. So it's like transparent fiberglass or something. And the other one is like it's fully LED'd.
Uh-huh.
So you just get projections of exactly what's all around the plane. So there's a camera on top and the sides and on the bottom. So you just get projections of everything that these cameras take.
Well, then, I mean, if we take that kind of idea and that principle, we could be flying anywhere, doing anything. So we could be, you know, going through the ocean. I know Christine's excited. We could be going through the ocean surrounded by blue whales and dolphins, and we could be traveling at warp speed or whatever. And I know Christine wants to go to
Hogwarts.
There we go.
Hogwarts, guys.
Yeah, that's what she wants. Okay, let's move on to our next story. It's a big breakthrough, this. Synthetic blood apparently has been, almost finalized.
Almost, yes. Yeah, so despite numerous advances in emergency medical care over the past decade, humans have this one really big problem in which we're still susceptible to bleeding out. This is especially problematic when people are seriously injured in remote areas or combat operations. About 17,000 people die from hemorrhagic shock in the U.S. annually, which is roughly 46 people per day. Combined with the need for transfusions during surgery, the dangers of transmitting infectious disease through shared blood, and the continuing lack of qualified blood donor volunteers, we could soon face a serious medical crisis. Turns out that synthesizing a suitable replacement for blood, even just the fact that blood carries oxygen in the first place, is quite difficult. There have only been two precursors that have been proven usable to date, but they've both got a host of quite dangerous side effects. So the first one is this thing called recombinant hemoglobin. And these hemoglobin-based treatments bind to oxygen easily, but releasing raw hemoglobin into the bloodstream can have toxic effects. So they need to be encapsulated in these larger molecules to keep them from slipping through the pores of the blood vessel and into surrounding tissues where they would cause oxidative tissue injury. The other version, perfluorocarbons, or PFCs, are inert materials that can carry up to 50 times as much oxygen as blood plasma, which is great, but less so than hemoglobin-based treatments. They are also insoluble in water and must be mixed into a fatty lipid emulsion before being transfused into the bloodstream. Because of that, they have difficulty delivering oxygen to the tissues that most need it, and they don't have a very long shelf life.
Right.
So these are like the two closest things we've gotten to actually creating some form of synthetic blood.
I mean, we've been trying for years.
We've been trying literally for years.
They've tried beer, they tried milk, they tried urine, they tried animal blood, even mixtures of wine and opium were considered, tested, and failed.
This is a huge, huge problem for the medical community. And there's only ever been one oxygen-carrying blood substitute that was ever approved by the FDA, and literally 5 years later, it was withdrawn because it had extensive side effects as well. So research conducted by Dr. Andre Palmer of the Ohio State University and Dr. Dipanjan Pan, an associate professor in the Department of Bioengineering at the University of Illinois, they've both independently come up with potentially something that could actually fulfill some of these needs, if not all the needs. So the result of this research is a product called
Erythroma.
Now, first of all, it is not a blood substitute, so you can't like put this in robots and make them have a blood stream. It's not the same thing. It's just an oxygen carrier that can be given as an oxygen delivery vehicle that acts as a sort of a stopgap to keep the injured people alive until they get to the hospital. What Erythroma is it's a human-derived hemoglobin that is produced in powder form. This enables it to be stored for up to 6 months, far longer than 42 days that blood actually lasts on ice. And the hemoglobin is coated with a cross-linked synthetic polymer, which automatically collects oxygen atoms from high pH areas of the body and releases them in oxygen-deprived tissues where the pH is low. And since the material is man-made, there is also very little risk that doctors will unwittingly transmit blood-borne diseases like HIV, H1N1, or Zika as well. It is designed for military applications, but it could be used for numerous civilian uses, from mass casualty incidents to emergency response in rural areas and developing nations. And even NASA, actual NASA, has expressed interest in the technology when sending astronauts to Mars.
How close are they to actually, you know, it being used on a day-to-day basis?
Not particularly close yet. So the problem with, you know, having, you know, the problem with synthesizing blood substitutes of any kind is the fact of the matter is that you can't really... The blood has so many functions that you can't replicate all at once. So these two products, so Erythroma and the other one called a polymerized hemoglobin, both are basically used just for the oxygen-carrying aspect of blood. And they're the closest we've ever gotten to actually fulfilling that. But you can't really, for example, these products don't initiate clotting, right? So that's a major aspect of blood that we have to have, and that it's not quite there yet. But it is possible in theory to mix these two different functions together, but we don't know if, you know, as of yet, nobody has actually managed to create a material that does everything that blood does, but this is super, super close. And fact of the matter is, with the, for example, the polymerized hemoglobin product, it can give you at least, you know, 24 hours or 48 hours, which is hopefully enough time to get transported to a medical facility to get an actual blood transfusion.
To get an actual blood transfusion.
How does the product wash out of the body once it's... it has to be like digestible, or the body needs to know how to cause it to exit once the 48 hours is done, right?
It doesn't quite exactly, but it is already hemoglobin, which we have in our body. It's just... It's
absorbed.
Be absorbed.
Because the idea is that, you know, you're already losing blood, so this is to kind of cycle it through.
Okay,
we got to wrap up, folks, for this segment. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, though, with our final story of the day about an LED screen that shows happy thoughts in your rearview window. Do we have any messages during that talk set?
No.
Come on, folks, give us your stories about being on a windowless plane. Do you like it? Do you not? 018-789-8899. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Oh, Third Eye Blind up next.
Yay.
Semi-Charmed Life here on BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. It's almost time for us to wrap up for the day. But of course, we started off the show with a story about how Emirates are looking to move towards windowless planes. We asked you your opinion of that. A couple more messages during the break. What do we get, Chris?
Yeah, so this comes from Emmanuel, who just says, I am sure that there are people who bought their airplane tickets just based on price. So if windowless flight tickets end up being cheaper, sure, why not?
Not a bad idea,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Final story of the day, a little bit of fun. So when you commute to work every day, imagine if you had a way of being able to communicate your displeasure with your fellow motorists. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do? Other than using your, you know...
Let's not even... yeah,
I just internalize all of my rage.
Of course, right. But imagine if you could have a little LED display that could, you know, at the back of your car,
uh-huh,
that could then display how you were feeling.
Mm.
Except it will only allow you to display positive.
Oh, I was
good.
About to say,
signs.
Yeah.
Good.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because we all know that people become monsters when they get into their cars, right? Yeah.
Right. So this guy, you know, he's a Taiwanese electrical engineer who studied in California. And he said, you know, it was a bit difficult traveling around California because people are full of rage.
Mm.
And he wanted a way of making people feel better about driving, you know, and when you're stuck in traffic on one thing or another. So what he did was to create this little device. It is, I'm trying to find the name of this thing right now. Oh, yes, it's called CarWink. It's a 5-inch round display that has 480 LEDs that's charged by a solar panel you put in the back of your car, and it has nice smiley faces on it.
Mm.
So when you're feeling, you know, positive and you want the person behind you to feel positive, you push your button, it gives them a nice smiley figure. He has said people can use their own emojis on he checks each one before it is allowed to be used on this actual device. So there is no middle fingers. That is not allowed. There is no swearing allowed on it. It all has to be positive and full of sunshine.
Okay. So he filters the emojis
filters the emojis. And if you're very interested in it, you can head over to Kickstarter or Indiegogo and look for CarWink. Early bird price is $92 US. After that, and then it will move up to $120. It's quite a big thing, though. But I think it might be kind
of
cute.
I'm of two minds about this because I am the sort of person that when I was riding the bus in the UK and there was fog on the windows, I would reverse write happy messages in the window in case there were any cars that felt bad and were next to us and wanted like a little sign.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Positive
nice.
Things. I would just be like, have a nice day. Or like, you look good today. Just like reversing in the window. So on that front, because I'm an absolute sap, I kind of like this. However, the problem with putting any sort of display on cars is the fact that people get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as something, you know, this device as big as this with bright flashing lights.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to cause some accidents.
Yeah. Have a nice day. Is what you're going to see.
Have a nice day and then you immediately crash.
Right, right.
Like,
and it's pretty bright, actually.
Also, how sarcastic can these emojis be? Like, you know when someone, you want to cut into someone's lane and you have your indicator on and then the person behind you decides to speed up at that same moment and keeps blocking you from getting into their lane. So what I normally do is I show them like a thumbs up because I'm like very sarcastically like, hey, good job, buddy.
Yeah,
you know, you
thank
did it.
You
know,
well
you
done.
Got ahead of me. Nice.
Well done.
Yeah, so how, you know, some emojis are like super sarcastic. They're smiley, but they're not smiley. In like a 100% nice way.
We got to stop though, folks. Thanks for all of your messages though today. It's been an absolute pleasure. Do keep the messages coming in. We'll compile them. We'll do something with them a little bit later on. We got to wrap up though quickly. We'll run through the stories we covered today. Of course, we did start off with that story about how Emirates are looking towards windowless planes.
We just have one more message, just one last message coming from Gilbert, who just says, is it a new advertising platform and income source, maybe?
Okay, possibly, yes. Story number two was all about...
Story number two was about how the Netherlands are going to build the world's first habitable 3D printed houses.
We spoke about how Spotify is trying to lure artists into licensing their music directly.
And then we talked about how synthetic blood will keep trauma victims alive for up to 48 hours.
Wrapping up with an LED screen that shows happy thoughts in your rearview window. Don't go anywhere, folks, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, is the Breakfast Grill replay. My equipment is set to be the largest listing so far on the main market of Bursa, Malaysia this year. When it goes public on the 20th of June, based in Penang, my equipment is a manufacturer of wafer-level chip-scale packaging, WLCSP, sorting machines for the semiconductor assembly and packaging industry. The Breakfast Grill spoke to their CEO, Oh Kwan Eng, on the company's plans post-IPO and the overall outlook of the semiconductor industry. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, though, Queens of the Stone Age with No One Knows here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.